Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sunday. I missed last week and...
Just glad to be here, glad to be back. Hello to those of you online joining us on YouTube. God bless you and looking forward to seeing you face to face one day. Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. I know that on your bulletin, on the cover, it says Amos chapter 3. And that Amos chapter 3 is just the reference of the scripture above it, which is, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. That's a sort of theme verse for this year. And so Fernando, thank you for making the bulletin. He didn't put the scripture on there, which is Acts chapter 3. And I know that on the screen it says Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 25. And then in your bulletin, it only has verse 22 to 25. So that's okay. Verse 22 to 25 is the most important part. Verse 17 to 24, that's... just the backstory, so don't worry about that. And then, speaking of the bulletin, really good bulletin this week. If you go on the inside left-hand side, there's two things that has the prayer of thanks for spiritual strength, and then below on the second bottom half is a poem by Philip Doddridge, a great poem. Wonderful poem, but also the prayer at the top of the page is an excellent prayer. I just recommend if you in the Protestant church, our style of prayer is a kind of ad lib, spontaneous kind of impromptu prayer. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Impromptu or... Yeah, anyway, so other churches, they use written prayers, a kind of liturgy. And there's nothing wrong with learning how to pray through written prayers. So if you don't know what to pray or how to pray or you want to pray, but what should you say? This is very useful, I think. And also, there's the Bible, so that's pretty useful too. The Psalms, the book of Psalms is a book of prayer. So what to pray, how to pray, that's great too. So just something for you if you're looking at the bulletin. Well, on the PowerPoint, you can see on the screen, the subject of our sermon today is Jesus the prophet. Jesus the prophet. And the image behind the words is not of Jesus. That's Moses, as you can see. Moses at the Red Sea. And I'll explain that a little bit more. But we're comparing Jesus and Moses today because Pastor Hiroshi is doing something wonderful this year. And that is, he is giving us a kind of conversation between the prophets and us. And his idea is, if those prophets were alive today, what would they say to us? And so that's kind of his idea for the sermon series this year. So we've looked at Joel, we've looked at Amos the past few weeks. And now we're going to go all the way back to the big one, which is Moses. So that's going to be in picking up in the story from Acts chapter 3. So before I read in Acts chapter 3, verse 17, if you have your own Bible, be sure to begin at verse 17. Let me give you the backstory. Two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John, they go to the temple in Jerusalem. And they see a man who is begging for money because he is crippled. He cannot walk. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up. I tell you, get up. And the man is healed miraculously. And there's a big, like, whoa, wow, what's happening? And there's a big crowd that's gathering at the temple. And now Peter and John have to explain to the authorities what's going on. Who are you people? And why are you speaking the name of Jesus, who we killed and buried, and you say he's alive? What are you doing? And so Peter is explaining to the leaders. And this is where we pick up the story. So Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Let me read it. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. We continue to verse 22. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. And anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Let's read together from verse 24 through 26. It's on the screen. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This is the very word of God. Amen. Well, I want to focus particularly today on verse 22, where you can see Moses is saying something very interesting. And he says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. A prophet like me. 私のような預言者. Now, we have many kinds of Christians here. We have new Christians and not new Christians. We have young, old, middle-aged Christians. Okay, some of you are very familiar with the story of the Bible, and some of us, the story of the Bible is still new and fresh. And that's the people I love talking to, those of you who are still growing in your understanding of the Bible. And, today I want to tell you about the man named Moses. Yeah. So, I want to just ask the people here in this room, raise your hand if you know who Moses is. Do you know who Moses is? Okay, good. And, Okay, next is, raise your hand if you have read the story of Moses in the book of Exodus. Have you read the story of Moses in the book of Exodus? Okay, thank you very much. Oh, you too, Joycey, wonderful, good. Great, all right, good. And it may be you've read it a long time ago. Maybe you read it recently. Maybe you're reading it with me now. I'm reading it. It's in my daily reading program. But if you have not read it, I'm very happy because today I get to tell you the story, okay? So Moses says, God will send a prophet like me. So first, what do you mean, Moses? A prophet like you. Who are you, Moses? And what are you about? So, I'm going to give you one. Moses lived 120 years. He died at 120 years old. I'm going to give you his whole life story in 2 minutes. Okay? Okay, great. I know, it's more than enough. So, Moses was a prince. He was an Egyptian royal prince. About the time, the early estimate is about 15th century B.C. The late estimate is 12th century B.C. It's difficult to know. There's lots of arguments. One thing is certain. He was a royal prince, but he is he's not a royal prince by blood. Yeah, he had a secret identity. He was part of the royal class, the ruling elite. So in Egypt, ancient Egypt, there's the ruling class, the royal class, then there's the merchant class, and then the working slave class. The ruling class could, you know, govern the land and enjoy the benefits of society. The working class, they didn't enjoy anything. They just worked. And worked and worked and worked. Does anybody know how that feels? Just working all the time? Yeah, okay. If you can't say amen, you could say, I feel it, I feel it. So, Moses was adopted by the daughter of the Pharaoh. She found Moses in the river floating in a basket. And she decided, I will take this boy and raise him up in my palace. And what happens is, she finds someone to take care of him. So she is the mother, but she finds a maid to take care of him. The woman she finds is Moses' biological mother, by some miracle. Now, his mother was part of the slave class, the working class. They were the Hebrews, the Jews, the Israelites. And I can imagine Moses' mother singing him the songs, telling him the stories, raising him up, giving him baths, and saying, Moses, you're living in this palace of the great Pharaoh of Egypt, but really, you're one of us. You're a Hebrew, Moses. And so Moses, it doesn't say, but I'm thinking he gets it in his mind and in his heart. He is special. And he's thinking, maybe God put me in the palace to someday help his people, the Hebrews. And his people, they're my people. And maybe he's thinking, I'm going to help free these people someday. So there's one episode, let me tell you. He sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew in the workplace somewhere. And so in order to help the Hebrew, he tells the Egyptian to stop, and they get into a fight, and Moses ends up killing the Egyptian. And instead of reporting the death, Moses hides the body, buries him, and covers up the murder. And he thinks nobody will find out. Well, another day passes. He sees two Hebrews arguing and fighting each other. He tries to step in because he is the helper of Israel. He's trying to be the savior. And he says, brothers, don't fight each other. And one of the Hebrews says, who are you? Who do you think you are? Who has made you our judge and savior? Are you going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian the other day? The secret is out. People know he's a murderer. So now, at the age of 40, he has to take off his royal rings, his necklaces, his garb, and he has to run for his life. He's now a fugitive for murder. He leaves Egypt, he goes into the desert, Midian. He finds a kind man who is a priest, and he ends up marrying the daughter of this priest, and he becomes the caretaker of the sheep, and he's now a shepherd for the next 40 years of his life. And at the age of 80, Moses is on this mountain, and he sees a light coming from around the corner. He looks at this light. It's a fire. This bush, this plant, is on fire, but it's not being consumed. He says, this is strange, and he goes to look, and as he goes to look at this burning bush, he hears a voice, and he sees a figure, and it says, Moses, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. He is in the presence of the living God. And he's listening to a voice, but it also says he's talking to the angel of the Lord. So there is a physical figure standing before him, speaking face to face, and there is an audible voice that he can hear. It's the voice of God, and he says, Moses, murderer, fugitive, shepherd, 80 years old, I'm choosing you to set my people free from Egypt. So what does Moses say? Yeah, okay, I'll do it. No. He says, no, you have the wrong guy. I can't do it. And the Lord, out of his kindness and patience, says, no, you're going to do it. You're a guy. You're the one. And so at the age of 80 years old, Moses finally receives his calling from God. Let me say it one more time. 80 years old, God tells him what he wants to do. Yeah. My uncle, who is a pastor, he's in Canada, he says, it's never too late to hear God's voice for your calling in life. Right? If Moses got his calling from God at 80 years old, how old are you? It's never 8 years old? All right, you got some time. Maybe another 72 years. It's the best time. And so, Moses gets his calling. And so you see the picture there. It's the most dramatic part of Moses' life, where he leads about maybe 1 to 1.5 million, maybe 2 million people out of a country. It's called the Great Exodus, and through a body of water, the Red Sea. You know, and the picture has him, you know, doing this dramatic thing, right? Actually, he puts his staff in the water, and then the Red Sea opens. But it's cooler this way, I guess. So he leads, the population of Hiroshima, about 1 million people, out of slavery into freedom, right? And now he's a prophet. He speaks the word of God. He's leading God's people, liberating God's people. And then the rest of the story, from Leviticus to Numbers to Deuteronomy, he's writing the word of God. He's writing the story of the people of God. And so now he's an author. And so the books that he wrote are called the Torah. They're the first 5 books of the Bible, also called the Pentateuch in Latin. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. 創世記、出エジプト、レビキ、Numbers. What was Numbers? No, Shimeiki is Deuteronomy. What is Numbers? Minsuki. Is that right? Minsuki, Minseiki. Minsuki. Yeah. The number of people, right? Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so he writes the first five books, the Torah. So that's kind of Moses' thing, right? So I want to focus on Moses the prophet because Moses says, God is going to send you a prophet like me. Like me. So here's what Moses does as a prophet. Three big things I want to show you. Okay, the first thing is Moses gave the word of God. Very simple. Okay, so here's Moses. Here's the Lord speaking to Moses at the burning bush at Mount Sinai. I am the Lord. The Lord is all caps. It's the word Yahweh. God is giving Moses his name. I'm Yahweh. I'm not Ra, the sun god. I'm not Horus of Egypt. I'm not Baal of Mesopotamia. All right. I'm not Melki of the Babylon. I'm Yahweh. I am that I am. I am the all-sufficient one. I am the uncaused cause. I'm the... Here's what he's saying. You know, when you go to a store, well, maybe not you, you're good people, but, you know, some people, they go to the store, they're not happy with the service, they're not happy with the product. They say, you're the clerk, let me talk to the manager. Let me talk to your boss, right? And so the clerk has to say, just a moment, they have to go to the back, and then the manager has to come out, right? And then the manager comes out because he's the one responsible. What he says will be the policy, right? He has to give the rule. God is saying, I'm Yahweh. You can't go over my head. You can't ask for someone higher than me. I'm the Lord. I made all of this. Not only that, I made you. I made your tongue. I made your hands. And I'm telling you, go. Be my prophet. Give people my word. I'm going to give you, it says, I will be with you when you speak. And I will give you the words to say. That's the job of a prophet. To receive the words from God and give them to God's people. That's what he does. Second thing, Moses gave the word of God and Moses spoke to God face to face as a prophet. It says there in Exodus 33, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. This is crazy. Because anybody in any culture, in any philosophy, understand, wait, if there is a God, he is not someone with a face. He's not someone with hands or a body or a head with eyes and a nose and a mouth and ears. And yet it says God spoke to Moses as if there was a, as if God, the angel of the Lord, was appearing in a bodily form, physical being, speaking face to face. Moses had the privilege. Moses had the grace, the mercy, which gave him the access to the face of God. Wow! I like to pray. And one of my favorite things to do is pray with grace. Grace. This grace. When she prays, it's like, man, we're going right into the throne room of God. There's just something about the way she prays. It just really fires me up. I'm not seeing a face. There's no face of God when we're praying, you know. There's no holy light. There's no crazy, you know, music or anything. Moses saw the face of God and lived. All right, as a prophet. Okay, next one. Third thing. Moses led God's people out of slavery and into salvation. So, Exodus 13, verses 3. This is the big dramatic passage. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day. You walked through the sea. The day you came out of Egypt, out of the hand of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. This is actually before they go out through the Red Sea. This is when the Passover happens. So, big three events of Moses' career as a prophet. Or big three things. He gave the word of God, he spoke to God face to face, and he led the people of God out of slavery into salvation. Okay? All right. Now, he's going through all of this in the last book that he wrote, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a book of sermons and speeches that Moses gives to the nation of Israel. This new nation. And it's called Remember. Remember everything that God did. And so he's preaching to the people. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18. All right, Yuki. In Deuteronomy 18, he says, the nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites, and you must listen to him. Israel, you're going to go to the land of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, the Midianites. You're going to this land of all the ites, different peoples. This is how they connect with the spiritual world. Sorcery and divination. Fortune telling. Speaking to the dead. Witchcraft. Astrology. I can't remember if it's astrology or astronomy. I think it's astrology. Astrology. They want to practice through magic, through wizardry, through all these things. Power. Manipulation. Fortune. Those are the Amalekites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, the other peoples. Not you, Israel. You're my people. You don't go to fortune tellers. You don't check your horoscopes. You don't need someone to raise up the spirit of a dead uncle or... You come to me. And how you come to me is, I'll send you a prophet. And he'll tell you what my word is for you. You need to listen to him. But here's the thing. The people say, we don't want to hear from God. We don't want to hear from God directly. Are you crazy? We saw what happened on the mountain. There's fire, lightning, smoke, clouds. No, thank you. So here's what it says. Verse 16. This is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb, the mountain. On the day of the assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore. We will die. No, thank you. We are God's people, okay, but don't give us God's voice direct. Verse 17. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. God says, yeah, that's right. You're right. You don't want to go direct. So I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command them. So verse 18 is a repetition of verse 15. You see that? Saying it twice. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words through that prophet. So, what happens? God sends prophets, right? So Yuki, give us the next one. So here's the list of the prophets, all in the Bible. And I wrote them down chronologically. The prophets that received God's word and gave it to God's people. You know, people like Moses, Joshua, Deborah, Samuel, Nathan, Gad, Shimeah, Ahijah, Elijah, Micaiah, Elisha, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah, Joel, Nahum, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Obadiah, Habakkuk, Ezekiel, Daniel, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. All prophets. Like Moses? The ones I underlined are the ones who had their own book. They were writing prophets, and they have the books of the Bible named after them. I want to show you something beautiful about the Bible. The ones I have in bold, there's the bold Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Those are what's known as the major prophets, three major prophets. And then the ones who are underlined, from Jonah to Malachi, those are called the minor prophets. There are 12. So we have three major prophets, 12 minor prophets. So catch the numbers. 3 plus 12. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 3. The sons of Jacob are how many? 12. 3 plus 12. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And how many disciples did Jesus have? 12. 3 plus 12. Do you see how beautiful? This is not by accident. This is by design. Jesus and the 12 apostles are the fulfillment of what God is doing in the Old Testament. The story has continuity. So, just wanted to show that to you. So there's these all these prophets that come after Moses. But then what happens is, 1,500 years, maybe 1,300 years after Moses, Jesus comes. He's healing. He's feeding. And he's teaching. And he's saying everything that all these prophets are promising of God coming, of God restoring, of God renewing, of God refreshing, times of refreshing, of God coming to save. All these, Jesus says, it's happening now. So that's why I'm healing, because it's God's restoring. That's why I'm feeding, because it's God's kingdom coming in abundance and blessing. Where does he say that, Pastor Chris? Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount. The Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Where did God give Moses the word? On the Mount. And Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, like Moses, it's all being fulfilled. Through me. And so Jesus is crucified. He dies. He's buried. 3 days later, he raises from the dead. He ascends to the right hand of the Father. A month later, Peter and John are at the temple. They see a man crippled, unable to walk. And they say, in the name of Jesus, rise, pick up your mat, and walk. And as they're explaining about what they did to help this man, they said, this Jesus in whose name we healed this man. He is the prophet that you have been waiting for. He is the prophet that Moses has told us about. He is the greater Moses. So Yuki, get us to the next one. Jesus is the greater Moses. Jesus is the prophet. In what ways? Moses gave the word of God, and Jesus is the word of God. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. We sang it with Nozomi today. You were the Word in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus did not just give us the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. You want to hear God's voice? You want to see God's face? You want to know and experience God's truth? Come to Jesus. That's the Word of God. And then not only that, Moses gave us the Word of God, but Jesus is the Word of God. Moses spoke to God face to face. Jesus is the face of God. From Colossians chapter 1, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Who was Moses talking to? Who was Moses talking about the angel of God going before Israel? Who did Joshua meet on the plains outside of Jericho? The face of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. The Word that created the universe, the heavens and the earth. The Word that sustains all of the systems. What? Okay, small confession. I'm addicted to YouTube. I'm trying to wean myself off. But one channel I subscribe to on YouTube is of this man who, he has these expensive telescopes and he takes pictures of the stars, galaxies, suns and universes, not universes, other systems, solar systems. Amazing images on his YouTube page. They're just videos of, it's called the Nebula Galaxy. The Nebula Galaxy is just this big, beautiful red circle, and in the middle is this blue, beautiful gas, and it's this Nebula Galaxy is also called the Eye of God. It just looks like the eye. And there's the Needle Galaxy, and then there's other stars. It's just all these beautiful stars, thousands of millions of light years away. And he captures those images. These complex systems of gas and stone and meteors, and just amazing. Held together, sustained by the Word of God. It says right there. That's Jesus, the face of God. Moses gave the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Moses spoke to God face to face. Jesus is the face of God. What's the last one? Moses led God's people out of slavery into salvation. Jesus is the salvation. Jesus is the freedom. Jesus is the promised land. Jesus is the greater Moses. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. John chapter 3, verse 17. Through Jesus, we have salvation. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Listen. There's this, excuse me. He's a pastor from Sri Lanka. He's a Christian pastor from Sri Lanka. And in Sri Lanka, obviously, he's in contact with many other religions. Hinduism primarily, Islam. But he's a pastor. And many people often ask him, Pastor, don't you think that salvation is given in all religions? And his answer is very interesting. He says, well, what salvation are you talking about? Because on the one hand, some religions say salvation is understanding that there's nothing. That when you die, you just be, you know, you're connected to the consciousness and you just, you're lost. And to rid yourself of all desire and of all connection and attachment to the world, that's salvation. The world is nothing. Everything is spiritual. Ultimately, you just float. Or, what salvation do you mean? He says, are you talking about salvation from, you know, the sun blowing up? Because in 3 billion years, the sun will expand so much that it will become a black hole. I'm not a, you know, not a physicist, but, right? Everything ends. And all the memory of us, all the memory of humanity, there's nothing. And maybe it'll start over. So there's those that say, all this is meaningless because it's material. And then there's others who say, no, this is all there is. So everything else is meaningless. Salvation from what? And his answer is, look, the Christian salvation is one where God saves not for us to float in heaven with white robes and little guitars and little halos and wings. God saved the world. God made the world good. The mountains, the rivers, the trees, the air, the ground, the animals. He wants to save the world. And he wants to fill it with his people. And salvation is not just salvation from darkness and fire. Salvation is for life, eternal life. That is found in one person, the face of God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the salvation of God. So, that's all we got to say. That's all I have to say is that. That's what you need. That's what you want in your heart of hearts. And we're going to look at prophets all throughout this year. But I was thinking, Moses, if you had one thing to say to us at Mitaki here in January, Moses from 1,300, 400, 500 years ago, what would you tell us? Moses, you wrote 5 books. You had an amazing journey with all these people. If there's just one thing you could tell us, 10 people here at Mitaki, what is it? I think Moses would say, there's one prophet that's coming after me. Listen to him. Yuki, can you take us back all the way to Acts chapter 3? And go to the next one. Moses is saying, Verse 19, repent, turn to God. Your sins will be wiped out. Times of refreshing may come. That's why I come to church. I'm here for refreshing. Verse 21, to receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything. That's why I'm here. I need restoration. I'm here because when I meet with you, when I sing together with you, when I pray with you, my heart is refreshed. My spirit is restored. Because we are sharing in the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. And in our praise, in our testimony time, in our fellowship, in our prayer, in our communion with each other, the presence of God restores and refreshes my soul. And I am a new creature. And all of it is because of Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill what Moses and all the prophets after him were telling us. Find Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Give your life, give your breath, give your day, give your children, give your job, give your future, give your whole heart to Jesus and find the refreshing, your restoration your heart is longing for. Let's pray. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, O Lord Most High. And yet you came to bring us back to you through your suffering. And by taking our suffering upon yourself, we receive your life. O Lord Jesus, receive our prayers. Please receive our devotion. O God, we humble ourselves. We repent of our pride and arrogance. We repent of our sinful hearts. We thank you for the forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we walk in newness of life today. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.